24-hour abortion waiting period unconstitutional and is permanently blocking enforcement of the law. Governor Rick Scott signed the waiting period into law in 2015. The Trump administration has reversed course on drilling off the coast of Florida. The Trump administration says when it comes to drilling off Florida and the Gulf of Mexico, it's now off the table. Though the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the playoffs, Sports Illustrated is reporting the NFL still had a disastrous weekend when it came to ratings. Bills-Jaguars game was down 10% versus last year's Dolphins-Steelers game. And President Trump met with a bipartisan gathering of House and Senate leaders on the DACA issue, signaling he's willing to compromise with the Democrats in order to get something passed.
FM 101.1, AM 600. Good morning. I am your host, Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. Taking your calls at 222-TALK, 222-8255. Before we get to the phones, this whole DACA issue is all over the map. President Trump. A lot of you have been emailing me this morning saying that he sounds more like is in line with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on this whole DACA issue and whether or not he's going to give amnesty. John Roberts from Fox News says that, well, he may get what he wants, but is this all going to be done in phases?
The president went into the meeting demanding security provisions, a wall, an end to chain migration, ending the visa lottery and more ICE agents in return for a DACA fix. White House officials say that after the cameras left, the president reached agreement with the two sides to do immigration in two phases. The first, DACA, including border security and end to chain migration and the visa lottery. Then second, comprehensive immigration reform.
The president was asked, will you sign the bill if there is no border wall? He says no. But my question to you this morning, is the border wall, if you're going to pick a compromise, you got E-Verify, you got defunding of sanctuary cities, going after the worst of the worst, deportation. What else am I missing here, Roger? Cutting immigration, no welfare for illegal aliens. Mm-hmm. I got my list here. What else am I missing here?
Path to citizenship, man.
If from the left to the right on this issue, which one is, if you're going to make a compromise, which one is it? And I don't want to throw my personal opinion because nobody cares about it. I just base it on facts. Let me ask you a question. When it comes to illegal immigration, do many of you think the border wall is the end-all, the be-all? What about those that are already here using benefits, E-Verify, defunding sanctuary cities? If you had to pick one, if you're going to have a backdoor amnesty, which one or which many of these issues do you sit back and say, okay, fine, I'm willing to compromise on? 222-TALK. 222-8255. Let's go to James. James, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. Yeah, I was listening yesterday, and one of the representatives came out and said that there are 900 active serving DACA members, and they're saying how they're supposedly going to get deported if Trump goes through with this. But my question is that military does expedited citizenship for individuals, green card holders, DACA, while they're in the military, within 1 year of enlisting, they've already gone through security checks, at least a secret security check when they process through that military entrance processing station. Then they're also expedited to get their naturalization if they choose to do so. So my question is, if they're still falling under a DACA status in the military, what's keeping them from going to get their expedited citizenship?
You know, it's interesting. How were they allowed to join the military if they weren't even U.S. citizens?
Supposedly, you could still go and apply for a Social Security card, even though you file under a green card status. We still take individuals into the military
right. With
an I-551, and they just go through a delayed process until their security clearance comes back.
James, let me ask you a question. How would, if you were, and it didn't matter what country you're from, but you want to serve the military, you're already here, you've been here for years, there's no fault of your own, you came over with your parents, but you want to serve the military, I've heard on both sides, no, that shouldn't be allowed to have. Would that be an interesting exception for those that want to join the military that might have come over as illegal aliens, as children, no fault of their own, brought by parents? Should that be allowed?
Right now, the military is already making exceptions for them. Even individuals, they passed a SMOM that came out that said that basically undocumented, as long as they provide the documentation, they can go ahead and make the exception to get them processed through upon contingency that they get their citizenship.
But here's the question. Entering this country, according to current law, first time around is a misdemeanor. the military has had a history of taking those that have been in, I'm not saying you saw Rambo. I'm saying, but like felonies allow them to join the military. Remember, the judge says it's 10 years in jail or you join the military. So, and many individuals have turned around to actually become a betterment to society. Maybe that might work out that way. I'm not sure.
No, I agree. Yeah, the military has a tendency to flip the levers based upon recruiting efforts on the needs of the military. So they're sometimes they hammer it down, they don't make the exceptions, and then sometimes they're wide open, depending upon the numbers.
You know, thank you for the call. You know, if you had a border wall, Roger, and you've got people that can jump it, great exercise, they're in shape, why not have them join the military? Those are the people I want, and right.
Or they could dig tunnels going under the border wall, and you can't, and it's undetectable. That's great as a military strategy.
It could be like Hogan's Heroes.
Where did these troops come from?
Yeah, what are these?
They went under the tunnel. But here's the thing. As I understand it, and I may be wrong, but I think I'm right. If you are not a U.S. citizen, you are allowed to join the military or the U.S. Coast Guard in the enlisted ranks, but you cannot become an officer.
But now, there are those, remember, during the War on Terror, that the government would contract, even try to enlist those into their military service to be translators. So that's what I mean. I'm just saying they made certain exemptions on that. On that one, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Donald Trump was hanging out with the Dems and Republicans yesterday and says, hey, just give me a bill and I'll sign it.
When this group comes back, hopefully with an agreement, this group and others from the Senate, from the House, comes back with an agreement, I'm signing it. I mean, I will be signing it. I'm not going to say, oh, gee, I want this or I want that. I'll be signing it because I have a lot of confidence in the people in this room that you're going to come out with something. Really-
Wait. With all due respect, he has a lot of confidence in the people in that room. I've covered these people before. Trust me, I wouldn't have a lot of confidence there. The president says, just give it to me. I'll sign it. And then he says that this should be about a bill of love. Again, compassion to conservatism. Where have we heard this before?
I feel having the Democrats in with us is absolutely vital because this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love, and we can do that.
He reminds me of that Brother Love character on WWE, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, you know.
I don't know how you know, authentic that is or whether or not he's just saying words in order to try to win some hearts.
If they're already over here, no fault of their own, but and I don't know their situation. If they're gaining employment, if they're on benefits, whatever, the government's loving them already.
That's true.
You know, 222-TALK, 222-8255. The question is, did the president sound much more to that of the left than that of his Democrat counterparts out there? And the question is, will he just sign anything? Is border security, I'm asking you, I'm throwing a lot on the table this morning, folks. I want to know what you think. Is a border wall enough to make you happy if there is a compromise on DACA, backdoor amnesty? Or if you were part of that negotiation, would you also include E-Verify, defunding sanctuary cities, no welfare benefits, no health care? You've got to, I mean, got to do community service. If there's going to be a compromise, I want to know, where do you, the listener, where do you come down on this? Or should we just say, yeah, the border wall is enough? If there's going to be a compromise, where should the compromise be? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Brad, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. Yes, sir, Mr. Dean. I think there should be absolutely no compromise with the United States remaining a sovereign country with borders and with laws that need to be upheld to the highest standard of the law. You know what I mean? There should be no compromise at all on any of these issues. These people need to be deported. We need to stop welfare benefits. We need to clear our prisons of the illegals. Just the prison population alone in incarceration cost would build a massive wall and total border security on north and south border. You know what I mean?
Brad, let me ask you, I think some people, some listeners would agree with you, but there is a thing called the reality world. We even compromise on our legal system where people should, like look at Corrine Brown. You know, she should probably serve, you know, 8 to 12 years. She's only going to get 5 years. But yet there's going to be a compromise. And if we're not going to have a deportation, then where do you draw the line on the compromise then?
Corrine Brown has went through the judicial process. These people have not. They come here. They get jobs. They hide in the corners, in the shadows of our country, taking these low-skilled jobs that the high school kids, when I was in high school, I loved to have those $6, $7 an hour jobs. Heck, I started out picking tomatoes in a field for $2 a bushel when I was 10 years of age.
But remember, they're going to probably go through a judicial process. They're not. Many of these are probably will not be deported back. So if there's going to be a compromise, then where do you draw the line then?
I would say that we're living in a very self-centered society that is totally focused on greed and votes on both parties, greed for cheap labor and votes for the Democratic Party, and we're probably the only dumb nation on earth that is going through this entire conversation at this time.
All right, the only dumb nation on earth going through this conversation. Yeah, do you see Mexico complaining about people? Do you see a lot of people jumping to go over to the border in Mexico?
They don't, but there are more Americans as immigrants, I'm assuming illegally, living in Mexico than you have Mexicans living in America.
They're going to Cabo San Lucas with Sammy, okay, the Hagar. That's the reason where they're probably all going there. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let me squeeze in another phone call. Sean, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning. I agree with the caller before. I just don't understand the end game of why are we compromising? I can't compromise on my taxes. I can't stick a shotgun in someone's face in Jacksonville and then at a bank and then go ahead and just run down to Gainesville and save the sanctuary city with $1 million in my pocket. I mean, it's out of control. And I agree with them. It's Democrat side, it's votes, and it's cheap labor on the capitalist side. And I own a business, and I'm not a Democrat. The problem I see is HB1s and all that. I mean, come on. Are you trying to tell me that people that wired Atlanta with Cisco systems and all that, they don't need a job? They flushed them all out to get them down to $25,000 a year and then brought them in here on these visas. It's really a bad – you're going to see the whole system where we joke about talking to somebody on customer service overseas. I can't understand these people. The whole shift is going to come back to where the United States is going to be a minimum wage country and the Eastern – or Asia and Pacific is going to grow like we did after the war. That's my
interesting
opinion.
Interesting take on that. Hey, have a good morning. Interesting take. They're going to be, you know what? It's kind of true because he brings up an interesting point. I mean, this guy, listen, I'm in the reality world, so I'm asking reality questions here. I understand some of you. No, I'm just saying, it's reality world. But he does bring an interesting point that if there's more low-skilled workers, it does drop the wages for everybody.
Right. And I respect the fact that he's talking actual numbers and
yes,
isn't really caught up. And when they say it's a race, people are innately tribal. And I'm not saying that everybody's upset because of the olive complexion, but what about people who come here and they make Cinco de Mayo a more important holiday culturally in our society than the 4th of July? Or what about when they come here and we can't even understand the language that these people speak because their native language
is
Spanish?
You know, real quick, before we go to break, have you noticed when you go to Mexican restaurants, there's no Mexican. They're typically Caucasian white people. No, I'm breaking the stereotype.
You're right. I had a Mexican meal the other day, and it was I didn't think about
that. That's
at the
right.
Time, but yeah.
When you think of Chinese food, go to the Chinese buffets here in Jacksonville. There are no Chinese people there. It's all American people there. They eat a lot of this food. So it's not, I mean, Popeye's chicken and KFC. I'm sorry, folks. They are not built in the black sections. They're all built in the white sections, Roger. Are they not?
They're all over town.
For the most part, they are.
That closely, but yeah, you're right.
Well, I know, because you're more upscale, like Woody's and Sonny's.
Right.
That's where we go. That's right. Roger's like the godfather. He's got his own booth at Sonny's over there off of university. 222-TALK, 222-8255 FM 101.1 AM 600 Talk Radio WBOB.
Hi, 295 South Blanding Boulevard. We're looking at a wreck on the right and 95 going south of the MLK. 20th Street Expressway. An accident is on the left. Traffic being brought to us this morning by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
Mike Gallagher next at 9. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Want to bring an umbrella with you today. Lots of rain with a high of 70 degrees. More rain tonight with a low of 60. And right now, it's 59 here at WBOB. And here are the stories we're looking at this morning. A Tallahassee judge is declaring Florida's 24-hour abortion waiting period unconstitutional and is permanently blocking enforcement of the law. Governor Rick Scott signed the waiting period into law in 2015. The Trump administration has reversed course on drilling off the coast of Florida. The Trump administration says when it comes to drilling off Florida and the Gulf of Mexico, it's now off the table. Though the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the playoffs, Sports Illustrated is reporting the NFL still had a disastrous weekend when it comes to ratings. The Bills-Jaguars game was down 10% versus last year's Dolphins-Steelers game. And President Trump met with a bipartisan gathering of House and Senate leaders on the DACA issue, signaling he's willing to compromise with Democrats in order to get something passed.
FM 101.1 AM 600. Good morning. I'm Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. The email address, ed@wbob.com. ed@wbob.com. So President Trump, many of you have been emailing me saying that, hey, what's going on here? I mean, is the president trying to psych out the Democrats? He says we need a bill of love. I'm glad the Democrats are coming around. Maybe some people might want to check out that mental stability thing going on there. Either they're claiming that the president really doesn't have, or is the president in control of this whole situation, as he met on Tuesday with a bipartisan group of those that, like Lindsey Graham and other Republicans, and some Republicans who do not support the DACA measure out there, is what they would have, which would be a full, open-blown amnesty. The president told the bipartisan gathering, give me a bill and I'll sign it.
When this group comes back, hopefully with an agreement, this group and others from the Senate, from the House, comes back with an agreement, I'm signing it. I mean, I will be signing it. I'm not going to say, oh, gee, I want this or I want that. I'll be signing it because I have a lot of confidence in the people in this room that you're going to come out with something really good.
Well, I mean, now, when you listen to that, you sit back and go, wait, you're not going to compromise or renegotiate and things of that nature. But then again, he says, listen, this, I mean, have we heard this before? The president said on Tuesday, this is about a bill of love, kind of like compassionism, dealing with those on DACA recipients.
I feel having the Democrats in with us is absolutely vital because this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love, and we can do that.
Really? When it comes to, when we talk about, here's a question I want to ask you. When you talk about the issue of border security, when you talk about the issue of protecting farmers along the border from the coyotes, not the animals, that's what they call the coyotes, people that bring the individuals in this country illegally out there. When you talk about defunding sanctuary cities, when you talk about exporting or deporting, not exporting, but deporting, the worst of the worst, those, not everybody that's here, the DACA, when they brought over his children, but those that are not being a benefit to society, I'm sorry, I'm just asking the question. Where is this a bill of love out there? But yet, when you bring up this issue, it doesn't matter what your position may be, even if you question about the rule of law, as Tucker Carlson from Fox News pointed out on Tuesday night. Why does it always come down that you're a racist?
Because what you're doing, rather than engage in an adult argument using reason, you're accusing people you disagree with of bigotry, which is a little much, actually, considering that you're demanding that Americans who were born here let in people who snuck in illegally and all their family, and if they say anything about it, they're racist.
An earmark. There you go. So they are racist, Roger. And let me tell you something. That argument in itself just gets old. After, does that make you mute right there?
You know what? I don't know if I disagree with the contents in a broad sense. You know, I don't believe there are people out there who dislike Hispanics because their last name sounds Spanish or they have olive complexion. But I do wonder whether or not there are people who, although they won't say it openly because of the forces of political correctness, and I believe it's on both sides, conservative and liberal, whether or not they've got a problem with the culture, whether or not they have a problem with English being pressed so
for Spanish. Wait. If your name is Rodriguez or Salazar,
right,
that automatically has a connotation that somehow automatically hits me as a Jedi mind trick.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's the issue, but I do wonder whether or not if you go into a place and everybody's speaking Spanish and it's your country and you can't talk to anybody because you speak the minority.
Whose fault is that? Is that because you don't know Spanish in South Florida?
Yeah, you speak the minority language, or whether or not something is, you know, like a Cinco de Mayo holiday becomes more important than, you know, a holiday like the 4th of July or Thanksgiving.
Here's a question that we've been asking today. If there's going to be a compromise, I think it has to, some would say, it has to go much more than a border, a wall. I'm asking you today, is if there's going to be a compromise, and let's say Trump says, hey, this needs to be a bill of love, sounds like a song, you know, we're going to have a bill of love here. We're going to be compassionate for those that are already here. So the question is, and several of you have weighed in on this issue by saying, no, we just need to deport them all. Whether you like this or not, again, a lot of us live in the reality world. The reality world is there's going to be a compromise. Don't have to like it. I understand that. But Roger, there's going to be a compromise. So there's going to be a compromise, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a contract that you enter when you buy a vehicle, whether it's a contract with an employee, employer, whatever. You have to negotiate. So my question to you, the listener, if there's going to be a negotiation, the art of the deal, and some of you that have been weighing in on the emailing me that saying, oh, I know Trump, man, he doesn't sound any more different than some of these other libs. Okay. Or some of the Democrats. The question is, what are you going to negotiate? You know where the Democrats are. You got to give them credit, whether you agree with them or not. They've laid it out. You know where they're at, folks, even though they flip-flopped on this issue several times. You know where they are at. They want a clean – it's amazing. They never want a clean bill. They always want to add stuff. They want a clean bill. It's open. And yes, is it amnesty? I don't know what else you call it. I mean, now, is it a light version of amnesty? Is there going to be – they have to pay a penalty? We don't know about that yet. Trump says, just give me the bill and I'll sign it. Well, so if you have to offset it here, Roger, if you have to get a – the reality world says if there's going to be a compromise, then does the – well, I'm going to build a wall. Does that really – I mean, seriously, does that really take care of the situation? I don't know. I don't think it does. So let's go further. Is it – okay, fine. Then there should be no welfare benefits if you're here legally. No in-state college tuition. If you do, you must apply like everybody else. You cannot get government contracts. I'm asking. I'm just throwing – some of these I'm going out there. Do you defund sanctuary cities? Do you employ E-Verify? So if there's going to be a compromise and you're at that table – and you're sitting with the president and you're sitting with the other side, where do you compromise and say, hey, listen, okay, fine, I'm going to give a little bit of blanket amnesty, but this is what I want in return. I just wonder, Roger, if it has to go a lot more than just, well, just give me a wall.
You have a good point there, and I don't know, you know, what it looks like the president's not willing to negotiate.
Some of you are telling me you think he's just playing the Dems. I don't know if I buy into that.
Maybe he's got, you know, internal information saying the Democrats are going to try to block anything he does unless he lets them have total victory in this. So he's just saying, pass something, I'll sign it.
I mean, let's go back 2009. Here's Chuck Schumer talking. I mean, listen to him. He sounds like Donald Trump right here on the issue of immigration.
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
No, I didn't hear him put a caveat. Whether it's DACA, whether it's children, you enter this country. I'm just saying. You enter this country illegally. What about, again, the rule of law, some would ask?
The American people will never accept immigration reform unless they truly believe that their government is committed to ending future illegal immigration.
And that's why nobody, you would think, Roger, buys that anything is going to be able to get done. Here's another very, very popular elected or former elected, that's kind of a nicer word, former. This is what he said about the issue of DACA and illegal immigration back in 2006.
Those who enter our country legally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law. And because we live in an age where terrorists are challenging our borders, we cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked.
Ah, that was former President Barack H. Obama when he was a U.S. senator. He brought up the word the rule of law, but yet I've heard this argument that when you bring up the rule of law, somehow you're dictated as a racist here, Roger, that somehow you don't like people south of the border. Again, we got a lot of illegal immigration coming from Europe, a lot of illegal immigration coming from Canada out there, but the question we're asking you, that if there's going to be a compromise, where do you draw the line and where do you have the compromise? So that's where a lot of the avenue. So I don't know. I don't buy into some of you then telling me you think Trump's playing the Dems. Hey, he sounded like one of them yesterday. So is this a good move? And let me ask the question. Everybody talks about dreamers. I think and let's just lay this on the table. If Republicans think that they're going to get the Hispanic vote this way, I mean, there are many ways to get the Hispanic vote, free markets, education. But if you think you're going to get the Hispanic vote by, some would say, by just blanket amnesty, there's only one group of dreamers out there, and those are the Republicans. Okay? There's only one group of people out there that are dreamers, and those are the Republicans. 222-8255. Let's go to the phones real quick. Let's go to Dave. Dave, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, you know, I got to think about this whole dreamer thing. Imagine being 5 years old. You're brought here by your parents. And so you've lived here for 20 years, and this is the only place you've ever grown up. And then we're going to say, no, you know what? We're going to ship you back to a foreign country. To you, it's a foreign country.
Right.
I mean, you got to have some. I'm all for stopping the flow of this, but you got to give these kids a break, and they got to be allowed to stay here. Why don't we just go ahead and make them legal, but put the fence up and stop the whole thing? And but as far as that goes, I just think that's what we have to do. They're not going to go anywhere anyway. So why are we fighting this?
Interesting. I think you got to take a case by case. I understand where you're coming from. Why not just hire judges to take a case by case basis? And if they're going to be here, then put some caveats by saying that, well, they can't have this and they can't have that. I don't know what the silver bullet is on this one, Dave. I think it's got to be done by case by case basis.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, there's almost a million of them, case by case. I mean, we're talking 50 years before they get all through the courts or whatever. You know, I know there's a lot of them we want to get rid of. If they're gang members, if they're criminals, if they're this type of situation, then they got to go. But
you're right.
If they are. You know, been lived here for 20 years. If this is the only place they've ever lived that they remember, you know, I can't imagine shipping people back to countries where they feel like,
I'm with you. I gotta get run. I appreciate the call. Thank you. I've got to get a hard break. But, you know, it's kind of like, well, that could be said about people moving to Florida. The way they vote. Can you guys just go back? Where do you get? I'm not advocating that. I'm just some of those you would see emails on that issue.
Hey, I moved here too, so.
But where'd you come from?
Transplant all over the place. Born in Chicago, grew up in the Virgin Islands.
I would send you back. No. Virgin Islands?
I lived there for about 7 years.
Please, deport me back.
Yeah.
222-TALK, 222-8255. David Williams from the Taxpayers Protection Alliance is going to join us here in a little bit on FM 101.1 AM 600. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
We're looking at this morning. A Tallahassee judge is declaring Florida's 24-hour abortion waiting period unconstitutional and is permanently blocking enforcement of the law. Governor Rick Scott signed the waiting period into law in 2015. The Trump administration has reversed course on drilling off the coast of Florida. The Trump administration says when it comes to drilling off Florida and the Gulf of Mexico, it's now off the table. Though the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the playoffs, Sports Illustrated is reporting the NFL still had a disastrous weekend when it came to ratings. Bills-Jaguars game was down 10% versus last year's Dolphins-Steelers game. And President Trump met with a bipartisan gathering of House and Senate leaders on the DACA issue, signaling he's willing to compromise with Democrats in order to get something passed.
222-TALK, 222-8255. Good morning, Ed Dean, right here. FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB, hanging out with Roger Henderson. So I got a text message, and some of the emails from some of you people that, some of the listeners out there, and my response is.
You people, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, not Area 51 people. Yeah, you. UP. Yes, a couple of you people. Here it is. You ready?
Uh-huh.
That's my response right there.
What happened?
222-TALK, 222-8255. Here on our Newsmaker line, David Williams, my good friend, very well-known Fox News business contributor, Fox News contributor. He's the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. David, you're telling me you lived in the islands?
I did. I lived in St. Thomas when I was a child for 2.5 years, and I'm actually thinking about going there and starting the chapter of Taxpayers Protection Alliance. They have a lot of problems in the Virgin Islands financially, and I think a taxpayer group would really fit in well down there.
Yeah, big issue there is there's so many people. The number one employer there is the government of the Virgin Islands. There's not a whole lot of free
energy. Wait. Why would you want to go to the islands? Can't you start one of these up? I don't know, Illinois, Washington, D.C.?
Oh, well, Washington, D.C., I already did that. Taxpayers Protection Alliance.
I knew that.
Man.
Yeah, I'm talking another. By the way, do you regret coming over here being on unbeknownst of your own?
Oh, are my you... gosh. I have a long list of regrets. I can't even begin to tell you where this falls on the list.
Coming from the Virgin Islands, he's all ticked off. Anyway, so here is Mike Emanuel. Here's a great issue I want to talk about. Pork earmarks. You ready? Here is Mike Emanuel from Fox News Republicans are looking at bringing back pork barrel spending. Listen to this clip.
An earmark is defined as specific money designated for a specific project at a specific place by a specific lawmaker.
Happy New Year, everybody.
The House Rules Committee is expected to announce hearings in the coming days to look at the pros and cons of bringing them back. The so-called Bridge to Nowhere in Alaska, price tag $320 million, became a symbol of fiscal irresponsibility in Congress. It made the term earmark toxic with the American people, and some mocked their colleagues for wanting to bring home the bacon for their constituent. Critics suggest that would be a slippery slope, but clearly the president thinks that is a way to make the environment here on Capitol Hill less toxic.
What is going on with the president this week? He sounds like a lib on the issue of DACA, and now he thinks that, well, in order to have a much more kumbaya, let's allow more of the pork barrel spending, and maybe these guys, we all might just get along better.
Well, this is crazy because obviously earmarks represent the swampiest of the swamp. I mean, this is how Republicans lost their majority back in 2006. So this is a ridiculous notion. And what's really funny is that one Republican, John Culberson from Texas, he said, let's bring these earmarks back so Congress can prove it can handle the practice right. Responsibly. So this is like telling someone who's doing drugs who's a drug addict, just one more hit. Trust me. I'll just do one more hit and I'll be fine. I won't abuse it. And come on. We know where this is going. This is going back to the Bridge to Nowhere. This is going back to the $50 million indoor rainforest in Iowa. I mean, I can sit here for hours and give you a list of ridiculous earmarks that they spend money on over the years.
Yeah. The sidewalk to nowhere, which they had here in Florida. Sometimes when I listen to these guys, I think about the mentality going to nowhere. When you look at this and you saw, I mean, because this supposedly had ended a few years ago, but wait a second, David. People are going to sit back and say, do we not load up member projects and all these spending bills? I mean, we see it in the military budgets all the time.
So really, the defense bill, you bring up a great point. The defense budget, there are still billions of dollars worth of earmarks. The other bills, they have gotten rid of them. Truthfully, I go through these bills every year, and they have gotten rid of a lot of the earmarks. It's really the defense bill, the last vestige of earmarks. But to bring it back in an institutional way is ridiculous. And do the Republicans not want to hold on to the majorities in Congress? I mean, is this what they're doing?
Well, David Williams is the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. So the question is, did earmarks technically really end with Boehner and these guys? I mean, again, military budgets, we've got them in agriculture budgets. I mean, so what do we do? What do we call it, a different name or what?
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. As they say, well, these aren't considered earmarks because we don't consider them earmarks, so we're going to fund them. And John Boehner never asked for one earmark in his legislative career. Paul Ryan has never asked for any earmarks. And what's interesting is we have a lot of new people in Congress, so the old school has gone. Don Young from Alaska, who's the earmark king, is still there, but you have a lot of newbies in Congress that have never had a chance to do this in such an open and, I hate to use this word, transparent way, because I don't want to give him credit for that, but this is going to be new for a lot of members of Congress.
But isn't the argument, let me play devil's advocate, there's funding that needs to be done. I mean, the state of Florida, they send money up to the U.S. government, they must get their fair share back, and why not, I mean, come on, member projects? I mean, David, some would say, what is unconstitutional about this? People looking out for their own constituency.
So first of all, let's look at Department of Transportation. If you are a member of Congress, now you have 535 secretaries of transportation. Because they're saying, well, no, I want this project in my
right.
district. So that's chaos. That's absolute chaos. And what happens is you have a transportation program. Let's say it's $100 million, and the projects are competitively awarded. Congress says, we're going to give you $200 million so we can earmark $100 million of that, and then you can just do the competitive awards for the other $100 million. That's how budgets increase, and that's what – and this is literally what Congress has done over the years – is they've inflated these programs so they can stick their earmarks in.
You know, we saw this heavily underneath W. Remember, George W. Bush in the 2000s was the biggest entitlement spender since between, LBJ and Barack H. Obama. And, all these guys that were running amok talking about fiscal conservatism out there, they weren't pretty much fiscal conservatives when you look at Medicare prescription, GED, and all the other things out there, and TARP bill and big transportation spending bills. And yet the president thinks that somehow everybody's going to get along by allowing this. I have to sit back and think, because this is not being pushed by Dems. This is being pushed by Republicans, and it seems like the Republicans may just pull the wool over the president's eye. As of right now, that's at least how some would perceive it, would they not be?
Well, it is. And think about this, Ed, is that if we allow earmarks to come back, it's going to take up more of their time because every constituent is going to go in and say, I want this project, I want that project. And if we allow these silly projects to come back, how can we say to the American people, oh, we're going to cut entitlements, we're going to look at some of these welfare programs? Well, how can you say that when you're funding a bridge to nowhere or a sidewalk to nowhere or an indoor rainforest? That's where we lose the whole, you know, higher ground here in spending, is that you can't ask people to sacrifice when, as Congress, you're not sacrificing.
Fox News, Fox Business News contributor, president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, David Williams, here on our Newsmaker line. Give me a department. I mean, you and I can spend an hour. I've seen you do many of this on panels, and it's always been fascinating, as I've found for years as a journalist. But is it the military? Is it agriculture, infrastructure, transportation? I mean, what if there's one that's worse than another department where you see a lot of, quote, pork barrel and earmarks?
It's transportation.
Yeah.
And I think that this infrastructure bill, whenever it's released, it is going to be a feeding frenzy for members of Congress. And that's why they're talking about this now, is they want the ability to earmark right before the infrastructure bill, because that's going to be maybe $1 trillion. And it's going to be this huge trough of money that Congress wants to snort from.
And that's what kind of is going to be interesting. We saw a lot of it with Obama's stimulus. If we're going to talk about infrastructure, as you point out, there's a lot of pork barrel earmark spending there as well. I mean, people do like better roads. They can brag about that. But does this not worry some of those out there when Trump wants to push an infrastructure bill? Like, what's going to be between this and the difference of what Barack H. Obama, the Democrats, passed back in March of 2009?
Oh, there's no difference. I mean, this is going to be touted as stimulus. It's going to be jobs creating. So we can't just say, oh, well, the Republicans are doing it, so it must be a good idea. We have to look at the principles of this. If it wasn't good for Obama's stimulus, it won't be good for Trump's stimulus. They're not going to call it a stimulus bill. They'll call it infrastructure, but that's what the underlying notion is, that they want to create jobs. And, well, we're already doing that with tax reform. But so we have to be careful. We have to look at this with a very critical eye. And just because, quote, our guy is doing something doesn't mean that it's good.
Real quick, I got to ask you, the president on Tuesday sat down with a bipartisan group of House and Senate leaders on the issue of DACA. And when he talks about, hey, we need a bill of love, I mean, I thought that was much worse than the compassionate conservatism you heard underneath Bush back in the 2000s. When you listen to all this, what do you think is going to take place?
So I love the transparency of having this meeting open, you know, to the media, but I'm really concerned about where this is going and just how much money is going to be spent and what kind of compromise is going to come out of this. And I think that this is very dangerous ground for the Republicans, to negotiate an open like this. I mean, listen, it's great theater, and it's probably a response to the Michael Wolff book saying that he's not engaged in policy, but, you know, what's the end game on this?
Yeah, but when you talk about his mental capacity and capability, I mean, I would think, hey, he's fine. Then, he's dealing with Democrats. Maybe we need to question his mental capability, capability here, you know?
I feel having the Democrats in with
the same room.
This is absolutely vital, because this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love.
How do you make this a bill of love? By the way,
I don't know. I'm from Philly. I know nothing about love.
You know what? I must be from Philly. But anyway, what are you gonna do? Send them roses? I don't understand any of this. So, Mars, David Williams, president of Philly. Go Eagles. Are they in the playoffs, by the way?
They are. They're playing the Atlanta Falcons this weekend. So do not text me between 4:30 and 7:30, because I will be in a mood.
Some of you already in a mood today. Hey, David Williams from the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. Good to talk to you today.
Thanks, Ed.
222-8255. I love talking about earmarks and pork barrel spending, man. Ah, big issue. 222-8255. We've got time to take some calls up next. If you're going to make a compromise on the DACA, where do you make the compromise? Or some of you have been emailing me this morning, ed@wbob.com, and there should be no compromise, just deport them all. There's the audible sigh again. I live in the reality world. This is the reality world. There's going to be a compromise. You don't have to agree with it. There's going to be a compromise. Where do you draw the compromise on? Is the border wall enough? Some would say no. What else do you do, Roger? I mean, you already got him here. What do you do?
If cultural, and assimilation is an issue, which I think a lot of people, although they may not say it openly because they don't want to be accused of being racist, maybe the assimilation issue, maybe we can work with the Mexican.
We've done it before.
Maybe we can work with the Mexican government and make them simulcast American radio and TV stations in Mexico so people can kind of relate.
In English or in Spanish?
In English, so they can learn the language. Start off their mornings listening to the Ed Dean radio show.
No, that would be the first thing they turn off, trust me. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
I-295 North, just before I-95, we were looking at an accident. 95 South at the 20th Street MLK Parkway exit. There's a crash there as well, and we're seeing a lot of backup at 295 North at Commonwealth due to a crash. And we are expecting a high around 70. More rain this evening with a low of 60. 59 right now here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're following this morning. A Tallahassee judge is declaring Florida's 24-hour abortion waiting period unconstitutional and is permanently blocking enforcement of the law. Governor Rick Scott signed the waiting period into law in 2015. The Trump administration has reversed course on drilling off the coast of Florida. The Trump administration says when it comes to drilling off Florida and the Gulf of Mexico, it's now off the table. Though the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the playoffs, Sports Illustrated is reporting the NFL still had a disastrous weekend when it came to ratings. The Bills-Jaguars game was down 10% versus last year's Dolphins-Steelers game. And President Trump met with a bipartisan gathering of House and Senate leaders on the DACA issue, signaling he's willing to compromise with Democrats in order to get something passed.
FM 101.1, AM 600, WBOB. Good morning, Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson, 222-TALK, 222-8255. The email address, ed@wbob.com. You can also download the app, listen to you on your Apple smartphone. Remember we talked about that yesterday, the injection. Go to wbob.com, wbob.com. Here on our Newsmaker line, he is the chief economist, lawyer, and executive vice president, all three wrapped up into one, with Florida Tax Watch, a nonpartisan research group out of Tallahassee. Go to floridataxwatch.org. Robert Weissert. So I want to throw a bunch of issues at you, and I think you're going to be able to. You ever seen those ninja movies where they're throwing, you know, like the, you know, you, no, it's like David Carradine from Kung Fu, where the bow and arrow, and you just kind of just deflect it, okay? You ready?
Absolutely.
I know that shows before all of our time. But okay, here we go. The Florida legislature started on Tuesday. They're throwing around a couple of issues for like one, like gambling. I mean, man, it's not full-blown gambling. They're talking about paramutuals and slot machines and things like that. Is it now in the argument that, again, you know, social conservatives didn't like gambling. They didn't like gambling, and it was not good for society, so they said. Now, I can hear all that in the background, by the way. So now they're sitting back saying that we need to have gambling because it will benefit the back payer's back pocket, that maybe property taxes will drop because more revenue will come in from tourists. How do you perceive this issue?
Well, it is a complicated issue. Certainly, this is a gambling state. We have a number of forms, whether paramutuals, high-lies, we have Native American casinos, we have a lottery. But whether the expansion of that gambling will generate additional revenues or just defer revenues from other sources is an open question, and it certainly could hurt our perception as a tourist state for some of our major attraction parks. It could be detrimental to those. So there are really two sides of this from the economic and fiscal standpoint, but it gets complicated because there's a moral issue to it, too. Some people are simply opposed to gambling. So there's a lot of sides to this one. It's not an easy answer.
Now, I know you're more of a policy guy. I mean, you know, the mouse doesn't want it. I understand that many of the other tourist items areas don't want it out there as well. The gambling crowd comes out and says, hey, come on, Robert, we got to compromise. We can go down to Cape Canaveral, which is 35 minutes away, 40 minutes away from the mouse. They've got plenty of money they can win. They go spend it at the mouse. The mouse just wants you to spend their money there. It doesn't matter. They're going to blow the money one way or the other. Are both groups trying to compromise, or is this pretty much like the insurance lobby and the tri-layers? They don't want any type of kumbaya.
I don't know that there is a good compromise on this issue, because you either expand gambling into Las Vegas-style gambling or you don't. Because, again, we already have high-lies. We have paramutuals. We have dog tracks. We have horse racing. We have poker rooms. We have so many. There's a very difficult way to compromise. The compromises have been cut with the Seminole Indian tribe and with the dog track and racetrack owners. But as far as expanding the Las Vegas-style casino, there's not a lot of compromise there. And one of the old sad things about politics, we've been talking this morning about pork barrel spending.
people say pork barrel spending is the wheels that grease the laws. The other one is issues that people can fundraise on. There are issues that nobody really wants to solve because you can continue to fundraise on them year after year after year. And this increasingly looks like one of those. From a policy standpoint, it's a very difficult issue. But from a politics standpoint, you can really see it coming up every year and then not actually getting solved.
Robert Weisert, not only is he a lawyer and economist with Florida Tax Watch, he's also the executive vice president, FloridaTaxWatch.org. What has been the argument? So you've got it, for example, you've got the Best Bet in Jacksonville, big outfit there. You've got Hard Rock down in, and I'm not talking about my abs, by the way. We're talking about the Hard Rock down in Fort Lauderdale. You're talking about down in Tampa. And what has been the pros or cons? I mean, has this been pretty much where the Chamber of Commerce says, okay, fine, we've allowed this, we don't want any more here, or do the pro-gambling lobby, do they have a viable argument to expand it? What has been the argument as of this lately?
Well, the argument is really jobs and the fiscal money paid for putting in the Las Vegas-style casinos. And when we talk about those, some of those casinos that you're talking about, especially casino-type, those are Native American casinos. So the money that they pay to the state of Florida is not in direct taxes. It's through a compact. So if we opened up an actual casino like Biloxi, Atlantic City, New Orleans, Las Vegas, then you would not only see revenue coming directly from Floridians or others at those facilities, but also from tourists who may be drawn to those facilities. And that money would come directly to the state, not through a compromise. And secondly, jobs. But on the flip side of that, you're going to put a lot of individual places out of business. If you look at an economic case study of Atlantic City, really those casinos did not help out the neighboring businesses that were in those communities. So there is a reasonable question about whether putting in a Las Vegas-style resort casino will actually benefit the community or just the individuals that get jobs as dealers in that casino. And again, it depends on where you stand, depends on where you sit. And the politics of it get very, very complicated very quickly because the money is extraordinary.
If the money's extraordinary, and the reason why we're bringing this issue up, Tallahassee convenes this week for the next 2 months with the Florida legislature. This is an issue that maybe end up popping up. So we're talking with Robert Weisert, who's an economist also with the Florida Tax Watch. So if it brings in a lot of money, what is stopping it from expanding it even further? I mean, politicians on both sides, Robert, love having more money coming in without raising taxes.
Well, that's a fair point, but I'd want to clarify. I didn't mean it brings in a ton of money as extraordinary. What I meant is the money pro and the money con, that is the money that's flowing into this argument, not necessarily the money that flows from the actual policy decision, because that remains a question. You would build a large resort-style casino, and that would certainly be jobs and be some economic development, and you would create actual jobs within that facility. But it could hurt the surrounding communities, and it could cost a significant amount of money in added security and in added social welfare issues. You could have additional crime. There's a lot of things that go along with that. And if you look at case studies of other communities that have done this, and we have a number of those, Atlantic City, New Orleans, Biloxi, you can see the answer is not very clear on what the actual outcome of that is. But what is clear is that there's money flowing into the debate. And that's why it will continue to be a debate. And taxes are an issue. And even the House Speaker yesterday talked about that the House will not raise taxes. He brought up specifically the required local effort issue that I know that you and I have spoken about. And it's a complicated one, but it's $500 million of taxpayer money. And the legislature has to find that. And so they're definitely looking at ways. And if somebody can argue that this is a way that would bring in more money, then that argument will be made.
Take off the policy hat for a second. Let me put you in the position of being a pundit here. Is the argument, I know I've seen it in Jacksonville, I've seen it in other areas of the state, and I'm asking, is this where the argument is going for more of paramutuals, for more of the gambling type of Vegas casinos? Because remember in Jacksonville, they talked about, hey, we could use this, we could fund fire and police and public safety. So this is where the pundancy comes in. Is this the argument that they're using to promote this in many areas of the state? The reason why we need to expand gambling, because we can use it without raising taxes and we could fund our basic services. Is that where the argument's going now?
Well, that's one of the arguments being made, but we also need to clarify with the additional gaming, there are arguments around the gaming facilities exist, like paramutuals and card rooms. What can they do as far as banked games at card rooms, or how many horse races or dog races have to exist in order for a gambling room to exist around them. But those are more on the periphery. The major fight is over Las Vegas style casino gambling in Miami. So that is a more localized, but it has some statewide implications. There are efforts to put things in the Constitution. There are legislative discussions. But the idea of the community gambling, the idea of expanding facilities that already exist or changing the regulations for those facilities is another important part, but a slightly different part of that discussion, because those do already exist.
All right, Robert Weissert, he's the economist, lawyer, and executive economist, lawyer and economist. Sometimes they do not go hand in hand, I kid. But anyways, he's executive vice president of Florida Tax Watch. Go to floridataxwatch.org. Hey, Robert, always good to have you come on today.
Always my pleasure, Ed. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ed. Big issue. Whatever your issue is about favor, support, I mean, it's a big issue when you talk about revenue and lack of revenue and how you can do this and that if you can bring in gambling. I just find the issue very fascinating. 222-TALK, 222-8255, FM 101.1 AM 600, WBOB.
The roads are busy pretty much everywhere in the listening area, especially on the Interstates 95 North. We're now looking at a multi-car crash, and other hot spots that'll slow you down this morning include 295 going south at US 17 and a wreck at 295 North at Normandy Boulevard.
I'm Lou Dobbs, another retailer reporting booming holiday sales and today's economic reports. France investigating Apple for slowing down old iPhones. Those stories next. You're paralyzed by the fact you owe the IRS more than $10,000, and like most individuals or businesses, you don't have a clue how to resolve your tax debt. But doing nothing means your problem only worsens. The minute you call Rapid Resolution Tax Group, they'll help determine your best way out of that overwhelming tax load. They're accredited with and A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and they guarantee same-day contact with the IRS. They know exactly how the IRS works, the solutions and loopholes that can work in your favor. Your call is confidential, and it's the first step in getting real answers. If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, whether it's personal, business, or payroll tax issues, or have years of unfiled returns, call Rapid Resolution Tax Group now at 800-601-2929. That's 800-601-2929. 800-601-2929. Target joining other retailers in reporting booming sales during the Christmas shopping season. Kohl's, Macy's, JCPenney, all reporting strong sales. On the economic calendar today, we have the latest data on wholesale trade as well as import and export prices. French prosecutors investigating Apple over revelations it secretly slowed older versions of its iPhones. Apple apologized in December, saying the move was necessary to avoid unexpected shutdowns. Lawsuits against the company have been filed in the United States and Israel. President Trump announcing he will attend the World Economic Forum in Davos later this month. He'll promote his America First agenda with world leaders. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 and 11 Eastern, on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
A rainy day today with a high of about 70 degrees. More rain tonight with a low of 60, 59 right now here at WBOB.
222-TALK, 222-8255 emails coming in this morning. I love good humor. Some of you are, listen, don't try to be funny. Just be funny. That's like me. I'm just funny.
You have a good point. That's a good way of putting it. Don't try to be funny. Just be funny.
Yeah, some of you that are listening online, just don't try to be funny. Just be funny. I like that. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Ed Dean along with Roger Henderson. Your call's coming up next. A lot more to go over. A lot of other issues. Again, the email address, Ed, at WBOB.com. Don't forget, tomorrow night I will be speaking at it's the Greater Arlington Republican Club at the Arlington Community Center on 5900 Fort Caroline Road in Jacksonville. Tomorrow night is free and open to the public. If liberals hear that and they hear the word free, they probably will show up, which doesn't bother me. But anyways, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, and we're going to have fun tomorrow night. Arlington Community Academy, I will be there speaking. It will be good. If some of you want to see me live in action, you will enjoy tomorrow night, I promise you. Hour number 3 coming your way. This is FM 101.1 AM 600 Talk Radio, WBOB.